What's up, guys? Welcome to the Pause Right Planet podcast. We're so glad to have you here today. We are ripe and ready to talk about BVS. But as always, we got to dive in and get the deets beforehand and kind of, what's the word here? Get reacquainted with everyone. So we got the whole crew in the house. We got Vince and Josh. So Vince, how you been, man?
Bum, 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 bum. I'm sorry, I hate that with the Batman part.
I don't know what that was.
It's the bat. Every time like Bruce looks in the screen in this movie, they do the bomb, 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 and it drives me crazy.
So they do the same thing with the Wonder Woman soundtrack every time she's fighting her on the screen. Yeah,
no, yeah, they do it with all of them.
Which, everyone like, has their own theme.
Not
right?
to like jump into like the movie too far yet, but they do the exact same thing with Superman. You hear the like the low like melodic theme, like the dun 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 dun, dun that I talked about so much in our last episode, talking about Man of Steel. They bring that back in the same way as well for
and
Superman.
Even Lex has his, but I actually like Wonder Woman's and I like Lex's. Anyway, I'm doing good.
Good.
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm living life. I did a bunch of procrastinating this week, and I hate myself for it, but I got a lot of other things done that were super important at the same time. But here I am, ready to talk BVS. What about you, Josh?
I'm doing solid. It's just been a lot of work, a lot of chilling lately. Like, nothing too crazy. I've been trying to hit my steps more than I have in the past because I brought my Fitbit out. I had put away for a while, and I've been wearing it, and I work at home, and I don't move around a lot besides to take my dog out, and there are a lot of days where I'm looking, and I'm, like, laying down to go to bed, and I'm like, ah, 2,500 steps.
Nailed it.
And so I've been trying to do a lot better on that, and so just working out, taking Finn on huge long walks, that's been the life lately.
My, like, goal every day is to, like, get 30 minutes of dog walking in. And then that's outside of like taking them to the park and running around and doing crap. But this past week, I went on two hikes with my dogs. And for my sake, I did 2.5 and 3.5 miles both days. But we got to the one turning around point with June, and she just straight up was like, dude, I'm out of shape too. I'm tired. We haven't been hiking this much in a long time. 800 feet of elevation is a lot for me. And I was like, okay, June, we'll take it easy. So we took a couple days off. And now every time we get in the car and we drive out towards Lake Mountain, they whine.
They're like, no.
Because they're like ready to go. But
let's make a pact that by the time the Snyder Cut comes out, we'll all look like Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill in this movie. Deal?
Wait, do that in a week?
That's like a week, isn't
it? It's like in 4 days or something.
Perfect. Well, I do know of a costume shop that might have one of those like...
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
Like, what are those? Like silicone bodies I can put over?
Like grab an egg carton and put it under my shirt for the abs.
Perfect.
Have you guys seen... So Vince, I think you watched the new Hellboy, right?
Yeah.
So don't... I'm not here to get disappointed in it. But like the special effects, like the costume and stuff like that on David Harbour, or however you say his name... He does not look like the body at all. He just has like a super fit like suit that goes over the top of it.
Oh, really?
Like I will still show you a picture. It's like him putting on the suit and it's just like, oh, I look like that. I could be a superhero.
He did get like a little bit more in shape for the role, I know, but he's also definitely, I mean, we've got Black Widow coming up here not too long from now. Like you've seen the trailers where he's like, oh, still fits.
but yeah. I'm glad that we all have this vision, Vince, and that you started it today. I'll get working a thousand crunches tonight. Then I'll be like, just like, actually, I want to talk about this too. I think Affleck deserved a lot more love. So yeah, let's get into this. Vince, you been watching anything good lately?
Nothing like crazy off the top of my head. We talked a little bit before. I mean, WandaVision ended.
Right.
Everybody happy with how WandaVision ended without going into it too much?
It's fine.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. It was good. They stuck the landing, but I had issues with some things, and I think that was because of my own expectation or hope of what they were going to do with it. And when they didn't do it, I was kind of like, eh, okay. But it was fine. It all came together fine. Other than that, remember a couple weeks ago, or last time we talked, I think it was, we mentioned Machete Kills somehow, or Machete, the Machete movies.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I had never seen a Machete movie. I went over to my brother-in-law's house, and he's like, I just need a brain dead action movie. So we're flipping through Netflix, and guess what we came upon? Machete Kills. We jumped right into that second movie. I freaking love that movie so much. It's a really purposely bad B action movie that is just, it's just fun. It's fun. I love that. What's the director's name? Robert Rodriguez. Sorry, I've spaced his name. I love Robert Rodriguez's random movies that he does. Like, he just for a few years just decided to do random B movies, you know. And he did one with like Quentin Tarantino too. And I don't know. I really like the guy. I think his production company's awesome. I think they do some pretty unique stuff that no one else does. So that's about it for me. Other than we all watched Nomadland, but we can get into that in a little bit. What did you guys watch?
Yeah. Josh, what about you?
I've been trying to see a few more of like the award season movies, especially as we have the Oscar nominations coming out tomorrow and everything. So I watched Nomadland. I also watched, I already mentioned Minari in a previous one. I'm trying to remember. There was one more that's like on that slate of like, hey, here are movies that are like being released in award season, but I can't remember. So I'll just skip it. My main thing lately has been Narcos. I am waist deep in Narcos and I am loving it. I've never seen it before and I'm watching it and it's really crazy to like think about all that stuff and like distinguish like what actually happened from like what's in the story. And it's also really crazy because I'll talk to my wife about it because her dad grew up in Colombia, in Cali, like while this was all happening. He was like a teenager slash young adult. So it was super crazy. But yeah, just like I don't remember exactly the other ones that I've watched, but I know that I've been sort of like trying to hit all those, all the awards movies that I've been like interested in before we get to the end of the year or before we get to the Oscars, at least, so I can form my opinions.
I'm going to start doing that tomorrow because that's right. This week is when the Oscars list comes out.
Tomorrow morning. I don't know when this is released, but it's like till March 15th, early in the morning, they'll release it.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
So yeah, once that comes out, I'll look at it and see what's actually nominated and start to make my way through them. I've seen a few of them though. I think they're going to be up there.
Promising Young Woman, Nomadland,
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. That's one I need to see. Trials of Chicago 7 also. So
Judas and the Black Messiah.
That one's solid.
I gotta watch that one.
You gotta watch it quick. I think they're taking it off HBO Max here soon.
Oh yeah, check it out. It's great, man. I love that one. What about you? What have you been watching?
Oh, mostly I watched Letterkenny.
Yes.
Pitter patter. Let's get going. Like, so I love Letterkenny so much. And what's funny is this, before we talked about it a couple podcasts ago, someone else has said, dude, Letterkenny is something you'd be super into. Cause like, there's like a huge part of me that's still like this small town boy that just like grew up on a farm and like loves everything farm humor and agriculture humor related. And so I've been watching that. I'm on like halfway through season two. So, but I don't know how many seasons there are.
I think there's 9 and I think there's like 6 episodes in every season. So there's not a lot.
That's fantastic. I might be farther along. I might be in season 3. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
It's fantastic. I love Wayne. I love Derry. I love them all. Like the trio there and the sister. They're so good. And then
you like Letterkenny, and that's what I appreciate about you, Casey.
I actually spent less time like on technology this week because it was my spring break for school that all my teachers assigned me a plethora of work for. Thank you and no thank you, teachers. It's supposed to be a break for my mental sanity. Sorry, rant and done. But anyhow, so I actually spent more time with my dog just outside, just kind of like disconnecting because I'm super burned out of working from home, doing school from home, and being at home. So I went outside into the wilderness, and it was great. I found a mine.
Oh.
I want to go back up and go down into the mine.
Mm.
Careful with that.
I've read a few Tom Sawyer and other books that might, you know, say you shouldn't do that.
I got a brother-in-law who has had to rescue multiple people from mines this last summer.
Well, I don't go back in them very far. Like usually, like if there's like 6 to 8 feet, you can go in.
Just as long as you don't have to rappel down into them.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Because those are the ones that he's had to rescue people.
Have you seen the cave? Have you seen The Descent?
Yes.
Have you seen what happens in caves? Have you seen The Hills Have Eyes? Like, that's what goes in my mind. The deeper into a cave, like a mine I go, like, there's got to be some, like...
Balrog hiding in the deep.
Yeah, literally, that's how I feel. But I just spent less time on my stuff this week, and it was good. It was fine.
Good.
But yeah. I watched what was important, which was Letterkenny.
I'm so happy you like it.
I remembered, so this wasn't necessarily for this award season, because it just barely came out yesterday, but the one I remembered that I watched was Cherry, Tom Holland's new feature, which is not doing great critic score-wise on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's around like 35-40%. Although, and they basically, the reason that they say is like, this story kind of fumbles around and does its thing, and it doesn't exactly know where it's going and stuff, but Tom Holland's performance kind of makes it worth a watch anyway. So even though a lot of them are like, okay, maybe this movie isn't the greatest, like, Tom Holland is like doing things, guys. And we know that he's already kind of been branching out. Like, I don't remember if you guys saw The Devil All the Time, but he was excellent in that and is a very different sort of role for him. And this is also a very similar thing. Cherry, and I don't want to like spoil anything, but just Cherry, he goes through very deep emotions. He goes through a ton of different things. And so that's definitely a recommend. It's on Apple TV Plus. So I watch it with a buddy since I don't have that. But it was very, very cool. Cherry is good. So I guess we should probably get into the main portion of our episode now.
Yes, and I'm pumped because I freaking was stoked to watch this. And I watched like the extended cut too, the extra 37 minutes or whatever.
We better have all watched the extended cut.
Okay.
I don't know what the difference was. But
there's
like,
about
I
an hour's it. Worth of difference in
it. I watched it. I just don't. I'd never seen the original one all the way through before, so I don't know like what was included this one that wasn't before.
Well,
you might have to let me know.
Vince will be able to tell us. But anyhow, like, let's get into it. Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice.
So I didn't look up all the information before I got here. Sorry, it's been a busy morning. But just I'm gonna scroll through the IMDb of Batman v Superman. The movie came out almost exactly 5 years ago. So it was released March 25th, 2016. So we're like, next week is the 5-year anniversary. So this is kind of working out, you know? The movie was directed by Zack Snyder, written by Chris Terrio, David S. Goyer, with characters created by Bob Kane, Bill Finger, Jerry Siegel, Joe Shuster, William Moulton Marston. The movie is starring Ben Affleck as Batman, Bruce Wayne, Henry Cavill as Clark Kent, Superman, Amy Adams as Lois Lane, Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, Jeremy Irons as Alfred, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, just a freaking killer cast here. Just so many good actors in this. So the movie on IMDb got a 6.4 rating. On Flixster, it got a 28% critic score and a 63% audience score. So critics really hate this movie. And honestly, if you get on the internet, there's a very big audience that absolutely hate this movie. Like, hate this movie.
Why?
That is a good question. And I think the answer is because the studio neutered it, cut out an hour of the movie, made it jumbled and messy, and the flow was off. Story and beats in the movie got confused. I remember seeing this in the theater years and years and years ago and walking out with that same like, was that good? Why did it feel so rushed? And having to like justify it like, oh, well, maybe that kind of, I guess it kind of felt like a comic book or something where it's like in each frame you just get what you need and then it moves on to the next thing, because they cut out a ton of footage in these movies, in their theatrical cut. And they shortened up scenes. So literally they would have scenes where the actors would just say what they needed to say to progress the movie and then moved on. So it was like you'd go to the Jesse Eisenberg in the library with the senator scene and they'd say what they needed to say and then it just cuts to something different. And so it just felt just like a mess, bloated. Continuity was just terrible. It was just really, really bad. And then I just think that a lot of people weren't into this version of Superman and Batman, this self-serious, very depressing at times version of a hero like Superman, who is supposed to be like the best of us and the hope in the world and blah, blah, blah. But it's more of a Superman or a Batman movie than a Superman movie here.
It was.
And I think there's a lot of things. Talking to my buddy who's just like way into Superman, I was texting him throughout the entire movie last night. Just like we were just talking about it as I was going through it. And his version of Superman is not this BVS Superman, you know? This Superman is very conflicted, depressed, because everything he does is met with conflict and criticism, and we're told that people love him, but we're never shown, you know, really people loving him, or him like doing things and people like praising him, not praising him, but just like thanking him or whatever. All we see is the political conflict. And I think that people are used to the Marvel formula of running around, having action sequences, having a lot of fun, getting a funny quip, having some serious and like interesting, bigger themes, but not really focusing on them, just focusing a little more on the characters and not on the effect that the character has on the world like this one does. So I don't know. It could be a lot of things. Me personally, I love this movie. And every time I watch it, I love it even more. Even though it's bloated, it's long. After Batman and Superman have their fight, there's still 40 minutes left of the movie where they fight Doomsday for some reason. Like, there's so much packed into this. We talked about it last week, how Superman is a bloated movie and how they could easily make two or three movies out of Superman, that one story. This could have been two seasons of TV, you know? Just there is so much built into this, and there's so much, and it moves so fast that I couldn't really register and like hold on to certain things that are happening, like Lex's plot and Lex's involvement throughout the entire movie. To answer your question, there's probably a lot of reasons people don't like this movie. I would like to hear what you guys think about it, because I have just been defending this movie since the extended cut ever came out, but I am, I think, in a pretty niche fandom. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I like this film a lot, and I like the idea of a darker superhero universe. And a lot of people are getting that with The Boys, right? Is that what it is on Amazon? But what I think is like interesting for a lot of reasons about this film is I think that the reactions of the people in the movie would be the modern reactions of citizens of the world.
Because
today, like, that's what it is. It's built for today. This isn't the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s Superman. This is Superman of today, who grew up during our era and now has everyone with their damn cell phones and like their opinions on this, that is saying, well, that's not right. You owe it to society. And like it even shows cancel culture in this, which is such a hot and divisive topic right now. And what's super interesting is like they don't really tackle that in Marvel as much. Like they don't really tackle the responsibility of the superhero and the actions that take while they're defending the Earth, because lives were lost. And like what's interesting is like Bruce Wayne shows that he's like paying people for the damages that they've incurred because of what happened to the Wayne Tower during and his businesses. But like Superman got off scot-free pretty much in this. He just got a bunch of hate, and we see where he goes, and like people are like, "Ah, Superman, thank you," you know, and like pretty much like a Misa part from Game of Thrones.
I just have to jump in. I'm so glad that you brought this up, because this is, I thought the exact same thing watching it. It's just so reflective on society today and how we just can't agree on anything. I mean, we're just on the tail end, hopefully, on a pandemic that couldn't even make America
united,
you know, united again. So like, think of a superhuman comes in and starts doing all these things. People are going to be discussing whether or not it's right, and they're going to be conflicted on their feelings of it. It's going to immediately become political. I mean, as soon as he goes and helps someone in Russia, then all of the news agencies are going to jump on top of that and like really dissect that on whether or not he's for America or against America. And then that's going to like make, yeah, it just spurs conflict.
Well, and even it spurs up the conflict of religion and creation and like everything that everyone holds so dear. This puts us all in a corner, and we have to reevaluate our place in the universe. But also, there are millions of people who would have to look at their faith again and say, well, what is the story? What is the facts? And that would really cause additional conflict and stuff with this. So it's a movie that was built, if I were to have a conversation with the writers and the director, right, Zack Snyder, I would want to know, did he put this in as a purposeful thing? Because I guarantee he did, as a way to make us think, and like not only to give us just the glorification of fighting and hero saving the world, but to give us the deeper thing of what we'd actually be thinking and what we'd be experiencing versus just like, ah, heroes. this?
I feel like there was a lot of that in this movie, in that there was a lot of like looking inward at as far as like what it would look like in like a real modern day thing. There's real conflicts between people, whereas Batman, especially because he incurred damages and his family incurred, and just like so many people lost so much, that, you know, it sort of is like doing that same thing where they're trying to look at, okay, what if there's actually real consequences? Like we talked about last time, Man of Steel, you know, like so much happened and like people died in the movie, and we talked about how that incurred like sort of a criticism of sorts from a lot of people, right? And so they sort of try to address that with Batman, you know, coming in. Bruce Wayne, he's taking damages in his tower and everything else, and so he's trying to say this man can't just like get away with this. Yes, obviously he stopped this guy from killing the world, but that doesn't mean that like all these other damages, all this stuff that happened, it was just insane and a ton of people died, and like something needs to be done about that. And so there's a lot of like good things that come in where we see that like they tried to fix what like some people said was like the mistake of Man of Steel with like everyone dying and stuff. They do a lot of that thing where it says, hey, what would it look like in the real world? They introduce a lot of characters, and even like with the extended edition, and I've only seen this once, is like my very first time watching it. And you know, I'm not crazy big in like the DCEU or whatever. But even with that, I'm watching this movie. A lot of the movie, I was just looking at it, and I was there with my buddy. We're watching it together, and I was like, wait, I'm like so confused. Like, what are their like motivations for like fighting each other, or like doing this thing, or being mad about this? I was like, I don't get it. And I feel like, obviously, I can't even imagine what that must have been like in the shorter version of this movie, when even in the 3-hour version at sometimes I'm like, I just feel like this wasn't explained, or just wasn't clear enough to me like why they were doing it. And there was a lot of things where I could have like gone out, go to the bathroom and come back and miss something. But I felt like it happened too many times where I was like, there's just so many things that I'm like missing motivations on in this movie, where like it gets to big action scenes and I'm like, it's cool. And I eventually understand like why the characters are doing what they're doing. But there were just like so many times where I was like, oh, I just don't like get it, and I don't like understand it. That wasn't to say I didn't like it. I did end up liking the movie. There were just a lot of times where I'm like, this just feels so like kind of surreal, like unmotivated, and just like an excuse to like get Batman and Superman fighting each other. And then of course, in the classic, this person versus this person movie, team up at the end to fight something else.
Well, and I feel, right, like the hard part is this deserved 3 origin movies beforehand, in my opinion. We need a Lex Luthor film, and it doesn't need to be a long film. It could have been, like, what DC could have done with this is created 3, like, short 15-minute origin films for each of these to, like, pre-release for the movie to, like, get people hyped. Because we need to know what Superman's been up to. He's just not working at the Daily Planet, like, BSing. Like, Clark Kent's got to have, like, a record for bailing on work a little too often. And then we have, like, the, like, for Batman, right? Like, what's really hard, especially in the Batman, like, people didn't want Ben Affleck as the Batman. Like, they did not want him there. And like, he did a great job. Like,
it's so good.
He did. And like, people need to stop being like idiots about this. Like, he put on like Affleck is a great actor, but for stepping into the shoes that have been like played by so many other great actors and like having a place to fill, this wasn't what we saw Suicide Squad Joker. This was Batman. This was Affleck's Batman. And it was good. Like when he's like working out and getting like yoked, like you see all the scarring, like they put a lot of thought into the backstory. Like, he wasn't just this posh and polished, like perfectly unblemished character. He was like, so I want to know more about the Batman.
I talked last time about the origin movies, how many came out at the time of Man of Steel and that kind of stuff. I kind of feel like they did the same thing with this. We've seen Batman's origin story so many times, we don't need an entire movie focused on Batman's origin story again. I think Zack Snyder made these movies with the idea that most of us know these guys, what they're doing, what they're up to, what their reason for doing what they're doing really is, you know, or at least an idea. Everyone has an idea of Superman. Everyone has an idea of Batman. And this is his version of that, you know, his Batman, as we see,
well,
kills.
Well, and I don't want to say like, oh, we have to know like, oh, the cave again, right? Like, that's been hashed out. But I'm like, we need like a little bit of context before going into it. I would have loved that. I think that would have like hit a home run for this film, and people would have like I'm not saying like you didn't understand or anything like that, but it would have been easier to digest. Like, why is Lex Luthor like a creep? Why is he like maniacal? Why is he this way?
Why is Batman so angry all the time?
Yeah.
Like, we get hints towards it. We have the Robin suit in the Batcave hinting towards the Joker killing Robin. That would pay a toll on somebody.
I didn't even see that. Now I want to look it up.
Oh yeah, check that out. It's got a Joker's riding across the Robin suit.
Oh,
and Batman like walks up and looks up at it, you know? So like Bruce is for what this movie is and how bloated it is, I feel like it does a really good job giving you an idea of what this version of Batman is and why he is the way he is. Because every version of Batman we've gotten in the past, his number one rule is I don't kill. Because once I kill, that's the one rule that I don't break. Because once I break that rule, I'm as bad as the bad guys. This version of Batman, he just completely admits, he's like, we're villains. He says it to Alfred. He's just like, we're villains. We've always been criminals, is what he says. We're criminals. We've always been criminals. He's gotten to the point for 20 years of being Batman, and then all of a sudden a god falling from the sky and destroying half of a city, to being like, I'm done with this. And every criminal I stop, another one pops up. This could be my defining moment, getting rid of this god who destroys the planet, you know? So like, that's the problem with these Zack Snyder movies, is they're so bloated that you kind of have to fill in the gaps on your own through very small sentences of dialogue or very small moments in the movie, you know? But someone like me who loves it, who's seen this movie 3 or 4 times and dissect it, and I think about it, like I've been thinking about this movie since I watched it last night. I fell asleep thinking about it. I woke up, I went on my walk, and through my workout, I was thinking about it. You know, these moments, these themes, these motivations, and I can fill in those gaps. If you watch it one time and forget about it, it's a very confusing and convoluted movie. But after the 3rd or 4th time through, you start recognizing little things and little themes, and it makes it better and better for me. And then I absolutely love Zack Snyder's style, how cinematic things are and how he does the slow motion. And I love his color grading, and I love the music's not as good in this movie as it was in Man of Steel, but I can forgive it, you know?
It's to Hans Zimmer, right?
Yeah.
It was Hans Zimmer and someone else, if I remember from the credits. It's like they both did it. So,
mm-hmm.
So I sort of felt the same way. Like, sort of what Casey was talking about, where it was, or no, it was you, Vince, who was talking about it, about, hey, like, we really kind of, like, know these people's origin stories and whatever, so we don't have to dive, like, too deep into it. But then there's also times during the movie where, like, motivations or whatever are unclear for certain characters. And I feel like even though the movie is already, like, bloated and, like, 3 hours, like, was there not anything in the movie that you could, like, remove and like put some sort of scene or something that could maybe help with that? And I'm not saying that like this would have to be that way, but I feel like we also do have like so much of, you know, these characters' backstories memorized and everything like that, that even like, what is it? It's like there's like a 5-minute scene at the beginning where Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Lauren Cohen are there as Batman's parents, and they get shot, and the beads fall in the sewer, and he falls in the sewer, and the bats fly around him, where it's like, I like that, you know, like, this is like a kind of a staple of any sort of Batman movie, and especially since this is him, like, kind of getting introduced into, like, the DCEU, that they still do it to show, like, hey, this is, like, what happened. But it's, like, so old, you know, where it's, like, even that, like, could you not have, like,
shortened it up.
Either shortened it, cut it, done something to leave more time for.
Or just leave out the entire 45-minute fight with Deathstroke or whatever. I just keep forgetting his name at the end of the movie.
And then I feel like I do like, however, that like you mentioned, like after you've seen it a few times and you're thinking about it in different ways and everything, like you begin to understand more and you can see more. I do like that it's a movie that can like require thought, because I feel like if a movie is like too simple, you feel like you're getting like talked down to, like as an audience member, where like I feel like a movie that just lays literally everything in front of you and that requires no thought is like a brainless movie, which like we talked about before, like with the Machete movies, like there are always places for those movies, but this like isn't meant to be a movie like that. So even though I've only seen it once and I'm like, okay, I was kind of confused, like there's also definitely a chance that I watch it again. I understand more. I'm like, okay, I get this. And now I like understand a little bit more why these things are happening versus like me just being like, I'm friggin' confused. This movie's stupid, or this movie's way too simple. So there's good and bad things about that.
I think that's a fair way to put it. I don't know. I liked the character depth in this, though, with Bruce Wayne's Batman, because, like, nothing... I'm sorry if I'm going to offend people, but I will. But, like, the Batman trilogy that is Christopher Nolan's, like, I think that in the...
Careful.
In Batman Begins, we had, like, a Batman that needed... Like, it's kind of interesting. So, in Batman Begins, right, like, we see... the Bruce Wayne that's struggling, the Bruce Wayne is trying to find his place. And the second and third, we find a Bruce Wayne that is relevant as Batman, who knows his place, who's fit in. And then one that's like taking a break, but is stepping into the same thing. And I think that what's cool about this is that this Batman has conflicts the entire time that he is nightmaring, that he is seeing. Like, by the way, I did see that suit after all, and I just didn't recognize it as the Robin suit. And so, but like, there's so much to this film, and like you said, it's bloated. I don't know what else that could have been done to make it better, I guess. But I thought it was good.
The only thing that I found myself thinking while I was watching it is how I think this would be better as a TV show. Like, cut that up into hour-long episodes, focus on specific things, get a little more character development, a little more conversation between characters, or even certain, you know, I mean, the next movie is going to be cut up into chapters. He's announced that he's let out the chapters. So it's going to play a thing out, and then it's going to have a chapter heading, and then it's going to go into the next thing.
Really? You
know? Yeah. So I kind of feel like watching Zack Snyder movies, like, maybe this is the better way to do it. Show an hour of the movie, let people digest it, think about it, then show the next piece, instead of having 3 or 4 hours of just continuous stuff shoved into your brain and then forgetting half of the things that happened.
I think that's great. Like, here's the thing, though, is like WandaVision, we kind of talked about that a little bit. I like that WandaVision was like broken up and there was like time to like kind of process things. And I wish that would have been more of a thing to do, because I think what's hard is like the big screen is every actor's dream. Like, they want to be the star of the silver screen, you know? And now the streaming service is just as high quality of an opportunity to make money anymore. And I think that movie studios are recognizing that. So I would hope that maybe they can get the band back together and they can do that. But I don't know. I love that idea, though. I love that thought. Like, I would love it to be broken up better. Like, that could be like 2 seasons of a movie. Like, I take 12 hours of like Batman versus Superman and Lex Luthor and discovering, you know, Diana Prince and all this. Like, I'm here for it. So I don't know. And also, I liked Doomsday's part in this film, but I think that it would have been better as like an outside of this film. Like, I think that they could have ganged up and fought him in a different film. Like you said, it's bloated. There's too much going on, because you have Lex Luthor, you have Batman, Superman, and you have Doomsday all in one film. It's a lot.
Yeah, plus the death of Superman at the end, and it's just like, and then they have the nightmare sequence that goes on that's like establishing the new thing, and then they have the whole like meta-human theory going on, which introduces the Justice League for the next one. Like, he just wanted to do a lot in a very little amount of time.
I like the nightmare sequences, by the way. I want to talk about those because the nightmare sequences, they brought actual humanity and fear and concern. But like, what would a world look like if Superman like seized power? And like, what's kind of interesting is you have Steppenwolf's like little flight critters in there,
the parademon.
Yeah, and then you have like, it's just pretty cool.
And it also gives more understanding to Bruce's motivation through this. I mean, I love the way this movie starts. After the opening credits, after the death of Bruce's parents, and then it gets to the destruction of Metropolis, of the Zod and Superman fight. And where was Bruce throughout this whole thing? And why has this moment affected Bruce so much? You know, he was there. He was watching people die. He was seeing the destruction. He recognized what these gods were capable of doing. And after years and years of fighting crime and basically doing, you know, not winning, seeing this thing, and again, I kind of mentioned it before, figuring out that this is like one redeeming thing, that if he can do this, then all the bad that he's done in the world and how deep he's gone down the rabbit hole of villainy himself could be justified. And then you get the nightmare sequence where he has a vision of the future where Superman does become evil, you know? And it's kind of confusing there because he has like a dream within a dream. but he does see the Flash standing there. And this is me as a fan, like filling in context. It's not in the actual movie, but I assume that Bruce actually saw or lived that moment in the nightmare scene sequence, and where he's killing people and where he's fighting off parademons, and then wakes up and sees the Flash, which maybe that nightmare sequence was a side effect of the Flash traveling through time to warn him that he got a glimpse into the future before actually speaking to him. So that gives him even more motivation to be like, I've seen what this can turn into. If this man decides he doesn't want to be a protector and he wants to be a dictator, we're screwed. The world's taken over. I'm not going to let that happen. And it just gives Bruce even more motivation, just feeds into his rage even more. Meanwhile, there's a line where Lex, when he's talking to Superman on top of the building, he mentions that he has been prodding at Bruce for the past 2 years to try to just make him matter and matter. So he has all these things building and building on top of him. And this is a very flawed human being until he just gives in to the bat, you know, in quotation marks. Like, the bat is his evil side. And he's always accepted that that's a part of him without wanting to cross that line of killing someone. But this moment, death of Robin, destruction of Metropolis, a god destroying his city, feeling useless for the first time since probably his parents, you know, since he became the Batman, feeling like he doesn't stand a chance. He's just like, I've got to do something about this. And I think that's such a cool idea that even the best of us, who you would never expect to cross that line, that one line that he has and give in to killing someone, is pushed over that edge and gets pushed over that edge and into the darkness so far that he has to come back, recognize that what he's doing wrong, recognize that Superman really is this beacon of hope, even though he is this controversial figure, and end the movie with like brightness on the horizon that he can bring this Justice League together to stop whatever could come in the future.
Well, Josh, like, I like what we've been talking about, but I'm just curious, like, Josh, like, did you have any favorite scenes? Like, what did you really enjoy about this film?
So there's obviously a lot in this film. It's 3 hours long about. And so there's a lot to like and or dislike. I think probably one of my favorite like scenes or favorite parts. So even though there were a couple of times during this scene where I commented, I'm like, this is just weird because it doesn't like feel as much like Batman. When Batman and Superman are battling there near the end and Batman's trying to get him with ye olde like kryptonite sword and stuff, and Batman is in like the big old like metal suit with the glowing eyes, I'm like, this is weird because it's like not what I'm used to seeing Batman in, as far as like, you know, obviously they're still big like hunky like suits and stuff, but just like it being made of metal and just like so like silver sort of instead of black and very rigid at parts. I was like, this is very weird, but seeing it in action and seeing that he literally made it, because he changes later on and he made it like literally specifically for like this fight versus Superman, it kind of makes the movie and the fight make more sense. Because like, if you ever ask anyone, like, all right, like, Batman versus Superman, like, who wins in a fight? It's like, okay, well, that's, like, an obvious, like, Superman, right? But you see that because he's had this fear of, you know, him taking over the world and doing everything. He's done his research. He's prepped for it. He got jacked, like Casey said. He's doing all those pull-ups. And he just gets ready, and he builds the suit specifically for this fight, and he makes the kryptonite sword and stuff. And so I thought that scene, like, while it was, I don't want to say just, but like, while it was like a big action scene, like kind of like they're meant to be like, all right, now this is the part where they fight, this is the Batman versus Superman that like was advertised to you, you know, like while that does happen, it's like, oh, it's a big fight. There was a lot of thought that went into it, and I thought that it was pretty freaking good.
Well, and for that scene, I actually got some Christopher Nolan vibes in parts of it too, because like when he's like building, and Alfred Pennyworth is like the Alfred in the show, is like, I love the Alfred from the Christopher Nolan film.
Jeremy Irons is perfectly cast as Alfred.
Yes.
Perfectly cast.
He does so good, and it's just like the coolest thing. And I don't know, like, I got some, I love that part, and like him building the like kryptonite grenades at like for like breathing in and stuff. Like, good call, man. Like, that was, I also loved that suit too. I was like, Because when they originally like marketed this film, one of the lines was like, "So tell me, do you bleed?" You know, like, so like when he like emerges in that suit, I remember just being like, "Ooh, we might get something good." And so that's how I felt about it. So good call on that one. What about you, Vince?
When it comes to action scenes, I love the nightmare scene. We've been over that. Just a little side note. If this series were to have continued, the next movie after Justice League would have been an entire nightmare sequence movie. So we would have had 3 hours in this future apocalypse version of the world. So sad we're not going to get that.
We're not going to get it even with Snyder like stepping back in.
Probably not. Snyder's like come out and said that the chances that he's going to make any or be able to make anything after this gets released is like slim to nothing. Like it's just a miracle that we even get the Snyder cut in the first place. So I love the nightmare sequence. I absolutely love the montage of Superman saving people with all of the newscasters like talking about whether or not he should be. And it has like moments of him like saving a little girl out of the fire and all of the people surrounding him and reaching forward and touching him and like almost worshiping him. And then they get into the politics of it and whether or not, like we talked about earlier, he should be doing this or whether every decision you make can, like if you can ever make a decision when you're that powerful and have it not be political and just presenting these ideas while he's doing these things. I just think it was a really cool, really cinematically well done montage of questions that don't get answered through the whole thing until he has his conversation with Pa Kent up on the mountaintop when he has that little vision. And Costner talks about the dead horses and how, you know, he asks like, we don't need to retread that scene, but I absolutely love that scene because that situation that he had on the farm was very relevant to Clark going through what he's going through.
I mean, and not to like cut in, but like I also kind of really enjoyed as far as like character development and like motivation, something that I talked about like a lot of times not understanding during the movie. That is definitely like a point where it makes sense because you literally through those like sequence, like the montage sequences for Superman, you understand literally both sides. You understand the Batman and the Superman side. Batman's point of view, you can see the political side and you can see that Superman is very much being treated, and not in a sacrilegious sense, but he's being treated like a Jesus-like character. Like those moments where he's in the crowd, like reaching out and like people are touching him, he's being treated like a god in a sense. And so you understand Batman's point of view of this man could literally just take over the world if he wanted to without a problem, and I can't allow that to happen. And you see Superman's side where he is literally just trying to do the good that he can, right? He's trying to be like a savior to these people. He's trying to be a beacon of hope. He's trying to do what he can to help save people in the world. So you do understand both sides, like from one sort of short sequence, you can literally see both motivations in it. So I guess that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, love it. And then I have two other favorite parts. The introduction of the Batman at the beginning, towards the beginning, where the cops go into the abandoned house and find all the women imprisoned in the basement, and they're terrified because there's a demon that saved them, and they don't want to leave the prison because they're too scared. Again, it's like Man of Steel when it kind of goes into that horror element, you know? I would love a full movie of Batman being feared and actually getting, you know, that feeling of why people fear him, you know, Batman just being ultra violent, because that's my Batman in my head. He will do anything, torture, hurt, scare, whatever he can to get the job done, you know, brand. Yeah.
That was wild. Like the branch, once you go into prison with that, you're as good as dead.
So cool. And then, I love, I can watch it over and over and over again. The warehouse scene where Batman just brawls with like 15 guys and he's using all of his tech gadgets. He's, you know, throwing out the things to disable the guns. He's using his batarangs. He's just like freaking a brawler and just takes guys out.
It's very real, that scene, because it's, yeah, he's using all of his tech, but it's not this crazy like phew, and like people are just flying around. He's doing insane stuff. It's very like he throws something and it like helps disable these guys, but then he's got this guy in front of him, and it's not just like throw this guy, like it doesn't matter. He's like, okay, I am facing this guy right now. And it's very much like a real, like, even though he's Batman, it's like, okay, what do I have to do to 1v1, like win this fight with this guy or with these two guys? It felt very real, unlike a lot of like action sequences can feel, just because it gets so crazy and over the top. And like, we like that a lot of times, right? But this felt like very real fight scene, even though it's Batman.
Well, and what was cool is like, there were times he was down and then he was back up. And also when he uses his like gun to like spin Superman around. Okay, like I loved that part of here. Like I enjoyed like seeing that tech as well. Like the fight right there with between Batman and Superman, so cool in that way that like Superman was what dominate Batman and it showed it. But because of Batman's, like, because, like, you see that he does, like, the, he steps on one thing, he comes forward, and there's the machine guns, and, like, there's all these things, and, like, Batman has put a lot of thought, he's chosen his battleground, it's not just, like, oh, we met on the street, let's fight here, he's, like, come to me, like, I'll light the Batlight, and you'll come to me, and, like, even though Superman was, like, hey, hold on, Bruce, let's have a conversation, Bruce had finally broken at that point, and, like, the Batman was there to kill or be killed, and there was no other option. I think he'd burned his ships. He was ready to go.
Lots of scenes I love in the movie. What about you? Is there any other ones that you love, Casey?
I also like the mountaintop scene a lot, because I think even now, like, my dad's still alive and living, but there will be times when I've like looked back at conversations we've had, and like almost like if I'm doing work or if I'm like in my backyard or if I'm hiking, like I've had those experiences where like the wisdom of my father has come through. And so I felt like that made Superman relatable. So it makes you like want to like him more and want to do that. I like Lex Luthor. I liked all the Lex Luthor scenes, actually, because I think that he's such like a curious figure to me, in the fact that like he talks about his father and he talks about like, so we're going farther into the impact of fathers here, right? Like abuse of his father and like the brilliance of his father, and now how he's taken the company and went one way, and that he has these visions, but when he gets up to speak, he's so conflicted, and then he goes in and he like is quoting biblical verses and like using the reincarnation chamber. He listened and learned about the Kryptonian like past and like listened to their history and stuff. Like he also prepared, like the Lex Luthor part of this film could have been far bigger based off of that information that we were just given. But like, I don't know. And then Flash coming through on like a cosmic treadmill was super cool. Like that's dope. And I got to bring up Alfred and Batman one more time, is like when he has Alfred take over the ship, and like they do that in Justice League as well. Like he takes over the little crawler for a bit, right? But like that's super cool that they work as such a team, right? Like it's like Alfred is just as guilty as Batman is in all of this. And so it made it like a little bit more like less of like Alfred the savior and like the balancing force in what Batman does, but as Alfred the support system, the, you know, the tool, the instrument, the actual butler to get the job done, you know, not like the Lara Croft butler that you could lock in rooms and shoot when you're playing the video games as a child, but I'm talking like the Alfred that gets gritty and dirty and also like
gets involved.
Yeah.
So we can't have a Batman v Superman podcast without talking about the big controversial moment. One that everyone's still making fun of to this day, that people will not let down because they hated it so much. The Martha moment, where Batman has Superman down on the ground, ready to kill him, and Superman says, stop, save Martha. And that's the only reason that Bruce decides not to kill him was because their moms had the same name. How do you guys feel about the Martha moment?
I don't know. Like, I was watching it with my buddy and I was like, so you're telling me like the universe would be totally different just because like 60 something years ago, both of these parents are like, Martha, yes, like that's what our child's name will be. And way down the line, Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent are battling it out and Bruce Wayne's about to slay the Man of Steel, and just this one fact just happens to save the world. I guess I just didn't like it. Just, I don't know, for me, I was sort of like off track and not really understanding like a ton as far as like the movie went, and I was like, oh yeah, there's cool parts and like I kind of understand what's going on, but I was like, it just seems sort of strange. Like, I was like, okay, like, I get it. Like, you stop and you have, like, an emotional appeal for a second because you're thinking about your mother. And it, Bruce Wayne even finds out that, like, because at first he's like, what the heck? He's like, that's my mom. And then Amy Adams comes in and she's like, oh, that's his mother's name. And so even then he knows, like, oh, okay, he's talking about his mom and stuff. But then he's like, okay, yeah, so I'm not going to kill you. Let's, like, save the world together. And so I guess, like, I didn't understand a ton about it, but I would just kind of was like, well, that was kind of corny. Like, that was my thoughts.
Be it corny, it also... it reminds you that Batman also has his soft side in this series. That, like, what would he have done to have had somebody, or how would he have felt if somebody came in and could save his mother? Like, he was, like, what, a child versus this is a full-grown man. And, like, I think Superman at that point recognized that, like, I could go, but save my mother. And I think that's an interesting thing. And yeah, the world would have been vastly different due to the monster at the end who could regenerate and grow and eat nukes for breakfast type thing. But like, I didn't think the Martha moment was that controversial. I was like, oh, at least something could like get him to calm down thing. Cause right at the moment, right? Like when Superman arrives to where Batman is, Superman's trying to talk and have a conversation and say, hey, we need to boom. Hey, we need to boom, boom, boom. And like, this is all on Batman for not listening. And so whatever to help him get out of that, I don't think is the worst crime that they could have done in the cinematic universe. But it also, yeah, it was just kind of like, huh, it happened.
Okay, I'm going to try to change the entire internet's mind on this moment.
I know they're all listening, so pay attention, internet.
We'll probably get a lot of hate for this because I don't love it, but I am okay with it. And again, this is filling in context. This is not something that's like presented at face value in the movie. We talked earlier about how this is very relevant to internet culture to this day, or culture to this day, and how everything's political or controversial, no matter what it is, whether you like a certain pizza or a certain donut, someone will get angry and yell at you over the internet. I feel like this is like a very good reflection of that again. Bruce has this idea of who Superman is because of the news, because of his actions, because of his rage. He has this idea that this man could, because of the nightmare sequence, he has this idea that this man could, there's a 1% chance that he's taken as an absolute, destroy the world or take over the world. And he has just held on to that and refused to look at any other angle other than this man is evil and trying to bring us down, no matter what. Even when Alfred tells him he's not our enemy, he's like, no, this man is our enemy. So anyway, this moment with Martha for me is the moment where Bruce finally comes face to face with a person. Bruce needed that moment, like you said, Casey, to pull him out of this rage. And that moment happened to be the coincidence that both of their mothers were named Martha. And so when Superman says, you know, save Martha, that like throws him off so much. You know, why would you bring that up in that moment? How dare you? What is going on? And then Lois tells him Martha is his mother. And Bruce, in that moment, has the realization, again, filling in context, this is all my opinion, I don't know if this is really what happened, but in that moment, Bruce is able to see Superman not as the monster that he has built him up to be in his mind, but another, quote-unquote, human being, even though he's an alien, quote-unquote, human being who has a mother, who is just trying to do good in the world, who is doing his best, and he's able to relate to this person in a way that he wasn't able to relate to him before. And see him as not the monster, like I said, and see him as something that, you know, if he works with or understands better, then he could become a better person as well. And it really like changes his point of view. And I don't know, it's just that moment where nothing could get through except for the one thing that traumatized Bruce the most in his entire life, which was the death of his parents, the death of his mother. And it took that moment of reflection, that coincidence, to make him reflect on that moment again and be like, oh, I am in the wrong here. I have been in the wrong for the past 2 years. I have judged this person wrong. He's just another person like I am, trying to make their way in the world. And maybe if we actually have a discussion about what's going on and I get an understanding of him, maybe things will change. And I guess I don't have to kill him in this moment. And then he has a very, very fast change of opinion and wants to be best friends with him. And that's where the problem again comes, where all of a sudden Bruce Wayne is just the opposite of what he's been for the whole movie. And it's like, ugh, this is bloated, but okay, I see what you're going for. So that's my take on the Martha. I will take my bow and I will take all the anger that comes to me through the internet because of my stupid, stupid opinion.
All right, so everyone flood the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast Instagram DMs with your words of hate for Vince and his explanation of the Martha moment.
Vince checks the DMs every Thursday at 3 p.m., so make sure you have all your stuff there by that time. No, I love that. I think that that's a very curious thought, and I think that's where we need to close it. I think that that moment of controversy that people are dealing with, like, what would you do? How would you be? Like, you'll never know because you're never going to fight a god. But
so you think
one little fun fact I noticed watching this one through, there's a moment at the beginning when Lex is talking about getting the kryptonite and creating a deterrent for Superman just in case. He mentions the metahumans with the political leaders. Yes. And he says something along the lines of like, instead of, we'll have a deterrent instead of relying on the kindness of strangers or the kindness of monsters or something, which is like he's alluding to the idea that the government knows about the metahumans and maybe want to make the Avengers team to fight Superman if it ever happens. I just thought that was kind of a fun little thing that I never noticed
because
before.
He's talking about, he's like, you don't know if they exist or not. And he's like looking at them. He's like, you know, he's like, but if you make the silver bullet, like if you craft it, like then you don't have to rely on their kindness.
I thought it was fun. I never noticed it until this time around. Anyway, Yeah. That's all I want to talk about. I love this movie. I love Batman v Superman. I'm sorry that the rest of the world doesn't like it as much as I do because that means I don't get any more of it. I can't wait for the Zack Snyder Justice League, and then I will stop talking about these movies for the rest of my life.
That's not true.
That is not true. I will call your bluff and raise you a new movie. Guys, I just want more Aquaman, okay? That's all I want more of. More Aquaman, but it's like the more cowbell, right? But more Aquaman. Anyhow, like, guys, thanks for getting together and talking this. Next week, we are going to be watching, and I guess if you watch this after this has been released, but we are going to watch the re-release of the Snyder Cut of the Justice League, right? And we'll do a podcast on that one, and then we'll put Josh in charge of a couple movies for us and get into the Oscar zone. Vince and I are over here. We love these. We're like, it's just a great action movie. It has some good stuff. And Josh, I've noticed this, and Josh is my brother-in-law, but he likes something with a good amount of depth in it, and I think that's helped me as a moviegoer myself. So thank you, Josh. But we're going to do one more superhero movie for a minute, and then we'll switch gears again. But thank you so much for tuning in to the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast, and we will catch you next time.